brings no disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And this is why a lot no longer walk with us, because this is what they do. They look elsewhere where the word that they want to hear will apply to the weaknesses and the areas of unbelief in their life, in their lives. And this is what happens. And this is why you have a gospel today that is so compromised. And then, of course, error, confusion gets in, and the enemy uses it. But you see, God is perfecting his love in us. There is no real fellowship unless the love of God is working within the hearts of the saints. And it's those who keep his word. It says, truly the love of God is perfecting or being worked in us. And by this we know that we are in him. So God always wants to confirm and encourage our faith that we are in him. A lot of our unbelief, where we miss the mark, is we're not always quite sure that we are in him. We can confess that, we can sing songs and choruses about that, but that has to be ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, that we are in him. We're in him because he is perfecting us. That is an experience. It is a revelation. It's an anchoring. It gives us that confidence to trust in God's word. You will never trust in God's word in your own strength, in your own ability. I don't care if you're in the word 24/7. We cannot be religious with regard to the word of God. It is keeping the word of God. In other words, how God ministers his word to us, we remain faithful to that. And of course, we have been very blessed over the years with the deeper life, the call to walk by faith, that is a total faith. And so God has put within the saints he overcomers this great desire, this great love for the word of God. And saints have traveled distances to listen to the word of God. Saints put themselves out to listen to the word of God that's ministered by the anointing. Why? Because this is God's love being perfected in me. There's a hunger for this, a desire for this, a desperation for this. And all of that, of course, is God-given. So the emphasis with what he's saying here with the in 5 is it's God's light, it's God's love. It's what we walk by. It's our confession. It's his love that deals with sin and unbelief within our lives. This love cleanses us. It keeps us in the light, standing with him. And John says that if we don't love, then we don't know God. And it's absolutely clear. It doesn't take a degree to understand that. If we don't love, we don't know God. And this is why he's perfecting us. And it's going to be achieved and done by the saints who keep his word. This is very important. This is the link, this is the key to our making it in as overcomers. You see, it speaks of fellowship with each other and with Him. And our fellowship with God and each other inspires our faith, helps us to have an obedient faith. This is why coming together, even, yes, online like this, this is what helps and encourages us and inspires us to go on. Because God has set this in the church, in the fellowship. And we've got a lot of believers today who think that they can survive and be Christian and walk in faith going from one church to another, to this ministry, that ministry, not belonging anywhere. They're deceiving themselves. I know many who are like that. They'll stay for a little while in one church, and then if something rattles their cage or they get upset, off they go somewhere else. Never growing in the love of God and experiencing the fellowship with believers, which works our faith and our obedience with God, because that's ultimately what He wants. And so it says quite clearly here in verse 5, it's about keeping His word. In other words, it means you hold on to it. You keep it safe. You protect it. You preserve it. That's its meaning there. And here is where we get the idea of being custodians of God's word, by keeping the faith. By keeping the faith, we are custodians of God's word. And God's word is a light in the world. It is the good news of the gospel. And God has entrusted the church, the overcomers, you and I, not just the preacher. Oh yes, that is important. But you also are custodians of His word and the light that you have and the revelation that you have. You are a protector of the Word of God. You help preserve it through each generation, each remnant, through each generation has preserved this revelation. Of course, we have the Bible, the Holy Bible, but this Bible has to be interpreted by the Spirit, to bring life, to bring salvation, healing, deliverance. And that is where it has to be protected. It has to be preserved and empowered by the Holy Spirit with those signs. And it's fundamentally keeping the faith. Now we get this idea in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what the apostle is saying here. He's saying, I have been a custodian of this revelation that God has given to me. I've remained faithful to it, to its proclamation, its teaching, and its signs. In other words, he says, I have kept the faith. He's been perfected. He has kept the faith. And that is going to be our perfection, brothers and sisters, that we have kept faith. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you're overcoming or whatever, you have kept the faith. And that is what is commendable in the eyes of Almighty God. Now thank God for that when you think about it. Not that it's taking the pressures or having to overcome in things, But it's saying that you have remained faithful. Where has your faithfulness been? You haven't changed it. You haven't watered it down. You haven't compromised. You have remained faithful to the Word as the Spirit interprets His Word. This is what it means. And then from that, we can have true unity and fellowship. There cannot be true unity and fellowship unless the Word of God is central to build that. It can't be achieved otherwise. What does it say? I'll just remind you again in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and here he speaks about our walking in unity, and he says, I therefore, the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Did you know something, that we too are prisoners of the Lord? To walk worthy of this calling is called the cross that we too take up daily and follow, in which this can be achieved and done. And we do it with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope of your calling. And one faith, one baptism, and so on. One Father, and so it goes on. There is the work of unity and fellowship. And how do we minister that in the body? With lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Because we're all a work in progress. But we have a vision. We have a hope. We see the bigger picture. Because we keep with the Word of God. We love the Word of God. Even though it has our name and address on it. In fact, I would be surprised if it doesn't. Because that is the Father's love. And it says, verse 3, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. In other words, I work at it. I choose, if need be, to be a doormat. Let them walk over me if it keeps this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That agape peace, that love, that peace. Jesus always said when he appeared to the disciples, my peace. He brought peace and he brings peace into a situation because you cannot have true love and fellowship otherwise. Sadly, there are so many sheep who do not have peace today, who are disturbed, are running, trying to run away from the wolves. They don't know those pastures where they're being preserved and kept and protected. But praise God, that is not our experience. And so we have this desire within us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? Because there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling. So in other words, we're being called into Almighty God, into the Godhead, into the oneness with Him. And then he goes on to confirm it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, you see. I think at times we tend to forget who our fellowship is really with. Our fellowship is with Almighty God. And when we understand that, then that His love and that working within our hearts will embrace our brothers and our sisters and with all their spots and blemishes and defects, that God is working in them. And this is why we pray one for another. Because we're then entering in to what saints are going through and the trials that they're going through. It helps us when we pray one for another to be sensitive, to be able to minister this love one to another. Because our faith with the Word of God needs that to help inspire and so on. And so if we keep His Word, His love is perfected in us, back in 1 John 2:5. Which means maturity and completeness. The birthing of the man child is going to come about because of fellowship, keeping the word, and it's going to bring us to completion, to maturity. And that is why the dragon is there, the imagery of the dragon right next to the woman who gives birth, because the enemy, the dragon, knows what the Holy Spirit is doing, and he fears it. He fears us much more than we ever fear him, because we are part of our manifestation of putting him down. That's how serious this is. Now, to keep his word, it also means that we have to abide in him and he in us. In other words, what it means, settle down and get on with it. And stop finding faults. Stop nitpicking. And all that goes on, sadly, in fellowships. He says, grow up and settle down and get on, because God has not made a mistake. I cannot tell you how many times in my trials and tests that I go through, I hear myself saying, Father, you have not made a mistake. I might think you have in the flesh, it feels like it, but you haven't, because your love doesn't make mistakes. This is where you have to be so secure in your Heavenly Father and what he's doing in your life. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Therefore, in these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Here it is. You could say here, therefore, having the word of God, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. It's just another term for the word of God, the promises. And what does it do? It cleanses us. It cleans us up. It deals with the flesh and the spirit in order for the Holy Spirit to perfect us in what? Holiness. In the fear of God. And that is how it's done. And that is how God works our fellowship, our unity and oneness. And that's why people either stay or they go. Because God is going to have it black and white. Because we live in an age and generation where it's all greys and compromise and you name it. God isn't going to have that in the house of God. And you will know if you are his, because you will have a love for the word. And that word is cleansing. It's changing us. It's perfecting holiness and in the fear of God. That should be your experience as you partake of this word. That is what we should be knowing, happening. These are all the clear signs, the good signs, that this is happening in my life. And that you can look back over a few years and think, gosh, yes, look where I've come to what I was. They are all good signs. Because it's his promises that cleanse us. And cleansing is perfection, perfecting. This is how he does it. This is why we say so often, faith comes by hearing the word. And so it says that God's love is then perfected in us, in him, and it can only take off because our love is impossible. So God is going to challenge man's love against his love. And this is why, again, you have so many fellowships where they are based on personality or education or color or creed or whatever it is. In other words, they're cliquey. And sadly, there are a lot of fellowships that are like that. Why? Because they're trying to build God's love, that agape love, on man's love. And it can't be done. It's called putting new wine into old wineskins. And you can't. You've got to do away with a lot. New love. That is the only basis of which it can be built. And this is why God is against the ecumenical movement, where they're trying to spiritualize and get all believers to come together. Well, we can all get to God, you know, as long as you believe and confess and living a good life, we'll all get together and we can all fellowship together. No, nowhere at all, no way. God isn't having that. The word of God is absolutely clear. No one can come to the Father except by me or through me. And his name is Jesus. It's absolutely impossible. But you can't get through to some people because they don't see it. And you know why they don't see it? Because they do not have that love for the word of God. If you love God's word, you will alter it or change it, even though you may be battling with it. You dare not change it. That was one of the first things that God revealed to me as a preacher. Gosh, did he give me the fear of God that to change this word in any way. I needed that. I had to have that experience. And any person, any man who wants to be a preacher, he has to have that experience sooner or later. You see, this love, this love of what we have in our fellowship, this agape love, it's an unconditional love. It's accepting the terms, including our enemies. It's not selecting who you want to fellowship and who you don't want to fellowship or who you have things in common with. We let that go. It even embraces our enemies. And sometimes you can have your enemies right in the house of God, and yet you still love them unconditionally. Because this tells us that we are in him, and we know this experientially. You see, I love 1 John because he keeps using this word to know the love of God and everything. And this to know means it's imparted to you experientially. You have been touched by God's love. And this is what it is. And there's no finer way than when our love is challenged. When we have to go that extra mile or whatever it is, because this is what builds the experience. There has to come in the house of God this experience that the world out there looks and say, they walk with God. They know what they're talking about. It's not just hot air, you see. To forgive is an experience. And we've all been challenged in that area where we are to forgive and to let it go. And then the grace of God, the love of God is there. You have an experience. You've gone through that. To go that extra mile is an experience. To love the unlovable is an experience. To be rejected, to be lied and gossiped is an experience. And you certainly experience that one if you stand behind a pulpit. All ministers will go through that one. And you continue to love. And you continue to go that extra mile. And you continue to preach and to stay with the Word of God. These are all experiences. It's an experience not to take revenge. And how we can take revenge. Gossip. Telling other believers. Because you have a problem with that person, whatever it is. That's revenge. It's a form of revenge. You see, so all of that has to go. And we have to embrace love and the unlovable, good or bad or whatever it is. It shouldn't affect us. Why? Because we hold on to the Word of God that is perfecting us. When you're battling in those areas, and we all do, get back to the Word. Keep listening to the Word. Keep coming. And God will put right that which is wrong. Because He says He will. Because that is what His love does. His love heals us. Are we battling with the promises of God? Are we battling with the promises of God with regard to healing and so on? Go back to God's love. That is in His heart. That is in His nature. And when you start to go back to God's love, the Father's love, you are going back to His Word. You are going back to these promises that are ours. Because the enemy gets very vocal, particularly when we go through a physical trial. See, look, the Father doesn't love you. He wouldn't, if He loved you, wouldn't let you be going through that, and so on. I know. I've been experiencing that one. But I come back to the Word. I come back to that anointing behind the Word, which is perfecting me. You see? Because we know what to do. As overcomers, we have been taught and taught so thoroughly that we know what to do in a trial. That's our teaching. And that is what will perfect us. And that is what will bring forth the man-child in this last days, because creation is groaning like I do not know what. The world is in a mess. The corruption in governments now around the world is utterly appalling. Great apostasy, the falling away. We're seeing the love of many now waxing cold, violence increasing. And you know it all. You've seen it, you hear it and everything. These are all clear signs. And what is God doing with us? He's doing completely the opposite. He's bringing us together in his love, in fellowship, in unity and oneness. And that is why the word of God is perfecting us in his love. And remember as I close now, our faith worketh by love. Faith will never work unless the love of the Father is present. And to see the signs following the word of healing and deliverance and casting out of demons, the love of the Father has to be present, as it will never work. We know that, it's simple, and yet on the other side, it takes a lifetime in which to achieve and experience this. But praise God, he's doing it, and we always take comfort by the very fact that he's raised this up. We're talking about it today. He's revealing it to us, all for a good reason. But he's perfecting us in the love of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. Unless your love touches our lives, we will never know. We don't have a clue. But you have come in these days, empowering us, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, for the purpose that the sons of God will come forth in these last days. You have decreed it, and it's going to happen. And even though the enemy is trying to hinder, trying to stop doing his devilish work, you are always one step ahead. Father, may our eyes be always on you. May our eyes and heart be in the Word of God, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to do that cleansing, that perfecting, that delivering. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow.